remember the rich fool. He said, I have done all this, and look at my barns. Look at all my stuff. We'll be talking about the my and the I in this edition of The Next Step. This is episode number 386, and this is Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the I's and the my's, between Pope Francis and the Chaldeans, between Conan and Navarre, all on this edition. Let's do it.
Hi, this is Susie of Any Issues Ministries welcoming you to a new episode of The Next Step. Since 2008, The Next Step has been coming to you on a weekly basis, bringing you the voice of Armenian Orthodox spirituality, Armodoxy for the New World. We invite you to listen in as Father Voskin connects the dots between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical, emotional, and spiritual worlds. Whether you're searching for practical and deeper applications of faith in your life, or if you're one of the many disenfranchised members of the church community, you've tuned in to the right station. Father Voskin has a message for you. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
How are you feeling today? Doing good? What are you doing right now? What are you doing? Just think about your whole body. Are you curling your toes? You curl your toes in fun as you smile at everyone. You meet the stares, you're unaware that your doings aren't done. That's how I feel today. It is a beautiful day here in Southern California. The wind is blowing, the leaves are rustling, really an autumn day. This is what it should be like, and I hope wherever you're at, you're having an enjoyable day, and you're ready for a few moments today together as we take the next step. I'm going to be talking about, well, some interesting, unusual things. Unusual. It should be usual, but it is unusual. No, I'm not going to do the Halloween broadcast. I know, Halloween, it is my favorite, my absolute favorite time of year, Halloween. And we have such a great time on All Hallows' Eve. This year it happens to be on a Saturday evening, this Saturday. And wherever you're at, I hope you're enjoying it. I'm going to avoid doing the Halloween broadcast. I've spoken enough about it in the past. And if you'd like, I'd put a few links on today's show notes. Do check out some of our old Halloween broadcasts, because it really brings it into focus about what this beautiful festival is all about. But today I want to talk about something, well, kind of like the life just sort of brought it on to us this past week. And it has to do with some of the things that Pope Francis said as well. But it began with a string of events that took place last Sunday. We were invited to celebrate the primate over here, our archbishop's anniversary of ordination. And a well-deserving, someone who has really given his life and dedicated his life to the Armenian Church. And we were at a gathering of almost 400 people, maybe even over 400 people. Just wonderful, wonderful event. And here's what was unusual about it. Okay, here is the primate, the Archbishop of the diocese. And in commemoration, there was many speakers, many people who got up and applauded his efforts and his work. And you know who they were? All of them. Who were they? They were politicians. Yeah. We had the senator. We had mayors. Quite a few mayors. Los Angeles, Glendale, Burbank mayors. We had, like I said, the senator was there. The supervisor of the county got up, and they all spoke about him, and they gave him nice little plaques and medals of honor, and it was just really nice. It was really nice. But it occurred to me that, isn't it interesting that here is the spiritual head of the church, and who's applauding his work but the politicians? Now, if you've been Next Step listeners, you know that I'm struggling with these issues of politics, and you know, you're talking about the Prince of Peace in the church. And as clergymen, we are representatives of Christ, right? And when Christ came, what was the statement? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Okay, you want peace on earth, but how come we keep appealing to politics? Why do we keep appealing to these lay leaders of the world to bring about something called peace? And certainly you're seeing a world in unpeace, right? In disorder. sometimes even chaotic. What was it this morning? We woke up to hear that the Russians had buzzed the naval ship, the United States naval ship, and they scrambled some jets to just let them know, hey, who has power, who has rights during this this time. Even in maritime law, there's these laws that govern, you know, even the oceans and everything. We want peace. They're on the Pacific Ocean. Pacific, yes, the peaceful ocean. And here they are talking about wars and possibilities of wars. And, you know, we're not appealing to the spirit, are we? So I struggled with this. I'm looking at, here's the leader of our church, and he's being recognized by all these politicians. And we, as the community that's gathering there, are applauding that our archbishop is being honored by politicians. Well, there's a side to it that I have to say that, you know, well, okay, yeah, it's nice. It's nice. I mean, you feel proud. You feel proud that, you know, your archbishop is on first name basis with the senator, with the supervisor, with the mayor. But at some point, you're also wondering, like, hey, so what? Right? Well, so what? You know, like, hey, if you need a larger steeple on your church, it's nice that your archbishop can pick up the phone and just call up and say, hey, we have some problems with zoning. Hey, case in point. Hey, look, I'm running a church here in the middle of Glendale. And for 10 years, we had absolutely no parking. And finally, the archbishop got involved. He gave a call to the Glendale city, and they gave us parking. They gave us a school lot. Oh, yeah, well, that's nice. There's a lot of perks in being on first name basis with the politicians. But then you get into this whole arena of, well, where is the spiritual aspect of life? And I want to talk about today about humility. Because we've been talking about all kinds of things, about bringing peace and talking about who these players are in the world and to bring peace. But how does humility fit into that? And of course, there is a problem with humility, right? There is a problem because, hey, if you want to get things done, it is not the meek. They may inherit the earth, but they're not running the earth, are they? And so what is that problem? Where is that balance? And how do you find humility? And while I was thinking about these thoughts, lo and behold, Pope Francis of the Roman Church gets up and he addresses a gathering of Chaldean bishops. Now, who are the Chaldeans? These are the Assyrians. These are the people who are in the Middle East. They are under constant attack. They have seen destruction. They have seen all kinds of difficulties. They're in a daily battle to keep their faith, to keep themselves alive. And these are the people in Iraq, in Egypt, in Iran. These are the Christians out there. Now, they're bishops. And by the way, their whole population is something like, they estimate, only 500,000 in the entire earth. Okay, and I believe, if I read right somewhere, I think the last diocese or eparchy that was established was a couple years ago in the South Pacific, and I believe it was in Australia. Anyway, I could check that out. But it isn't really growing by leaps and bounds, but there are some noticeable growth in this church, and they are. This church is under the its own Catholicos Patriarch, but with a complete tie and in complete communion with Rome. So the bishops of the Chaldean church had assembled in Rome, and Pope Francis spoke to them. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of what's going on in the Chaldean church. You could definitely look it up. We'll put some links on it. But what I'm going to challenge you to do is really think about a pope, the leader of the Catholic Church, of the Roman Church, okay, getting up in front of these bishops who are struggling in a daily struggle with their people. In other words, their people are going through all kinds of hideous, hideous, violent crimes perpetuated on them because of their faith, because of who they are, because of the regions they live in. Now, what would you say to them? Now, this is interesting, right? Because, and what caught my attention was a father talking to fathers, right? The father of the church, Pope Francis, talking to a group of bishops who were going to be out there and fathering to people. Remember I said to you earlier, there's something unusual that was said, and this is it. I could not believe this when I read it. The Pope, addressing the Synod of Bishops, Chaldean bishops, he said, "Journeying together is an easy concept to put into words, but not so easy to put into practice. Let us never forget this." Journeying together. Okay, the bishops, you're going to be journeying with your people. And it's easy to put into words. And think about the word aspect of it. Isn't that usually the politics, right? The rhetoric that gets up and, you know, you want to find the right words to comfort, to console. And those words are important. They're powerful words. But at the same time, it's not so easy to practice that. Let's never forget that, the Pope says. And this is what he says next, which blew my mind. He says, "For the disciples of Jesus yesterday, today, and always, the only authority is the authority of service. The only power is the power of the cross." What? What? Let me read that again. "For the disciples of Jesus, yesterday, today, and always, the only authority is the authority of service. The only power is the power of the cross." I couldn't believe this. And this is what should be applauded. Can you believe this? Yes, especially for the leader of a Catholic Church, which is so high on authority that the only authority comes from the church. And what is he doing? He's equating that authority with service. Note, he didn't say the only authority is the Bible, the only authority is the hierarchy of the church is holy tradition, the only authority is Jesus. No, he went even farther and he said the only authority is service. The only power is the power of the cross. Wow. Walking in the shoes of other people, serving other people, helping other people. This is the head of the Roman church saying this. Let me read a little bit more. He says, "As the master tells us, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave." You want to serve people? You want to be great? You need to get out there and serve. Now, this, I know, it's a difficult one because that service implies humility. That service implies, it implies egoless, selfless sacrifice. And in fact, the Pope did mention that, and I'll get to that in a few minutes. I'm going to come back in the second portion, right after the song of the day, and I'm going to share with you some thoughts about this humility. And I think it's going to be an interesting one, and I hope that you'll follow along. We're going to be looking at Philippians, if you want to bring your Bibles close to the speakers. Unless you're driving, don't do that, okay? And we're going to be talking about humility in a few ways. I have a great song of the day for you today. It is a lady that I just discovered on the internet. Her name is Nuver. She's done some Armenian children songs, and she has produced an album that is called Armenian Church Songs. Now, what's interesting about that is she sings those Armenian church songs, you know, what we're familiar with in the Holy Badarak or Divine Liturgy, and then she translates them in English. Are you ready? I'm going to play the Armenian one first, and then I'll follow it right afterwards with an English version of it, okay? Listen, let me know what you think.
Oh, I'm not
about that, huh? That is Never. That is off of an album called We Sing Church Songs. And I'm going to put Armenian church songs. We're going to put a link on today's show notes, as we always do, so you can follow along. You can check out. I mean, do support these people that we play over here, especially do support this artist. Maybe it makes a great little gift, too, you know. But I just loved it. I loved that she was able to transcend the language barrier in such a positive way. You know, I've heard many times people trying to do similar projects, but it doesn't come out. There's no flow. This one, obviously, she knows something about music and a lot about music, right? And it just comes out beautifully. And I hope you enjoyed it and you will enjoy the rest of the album as well. We Sing Armenian Church Songs is the name of the album, Never, the artist. Do check it out. Link on our show notes today. Get a chance to check out Conan's visit to Armenia. There is an incredible YouTube video. Do check it out. I'm going to put it on today's show notes. Conan O'Brien going to Armenia, and they actually challenged him with some questions, an Armenian test, and he got 4 out of the 5 questions right, and said that, you know, they're going to work on making him an Armenian, changing him from Conan O'Brien to O'Brien. And I just loved it. It's off of Arm Comedy is the YouTube channel. I subscribed immediately. I fell in love with these guys. And especially this little segment that they did with Conan O'Brien. And I'll put a link on today's show notes. Do check that out. And with that, I want to get into this whole issue of humility. Because, you know, we look at entertainers and people who are shakers and movers in the world. We talk about politicians. Obviously, whether you're in the entertainment business, politicians, you're moving ahead. And what is that biblical statement? You know, God helps those who help themselves. What? No, it's not in the Bible. But people want to believe it is, and it makes for a nice conversation. And, you know, this is the way the world works. You know, you got to be egocentric. Your ego's got to be playing into it. Even if you put on the act that you're not, you know deep down that it's that ego that is driving you forward. And then so all of a sudden we get into these issues of humility. We come down to what Christ is talking about losing yourself, or, you know, even farther back, go into Buddhism, about losing the self, losing the ego, dropping it. It's interesting why spirituality will not work in this world, because it goes against everything we're taught. And case in point, I'm going to share with you, okay? We're going to start off today with the story that takes place after the Last Supper. After Jesus has the Last Supper with his disciples in the upper room, the scriptures tell us that he takes off his robe and he attaches a towel to himself on his belt. And he kneels down and he starts washing the feet of the disciples. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Those disciples' feet, how disgusting they must have been. Because obviously there's no pavement outside. They're walking through dirt and possibly mud. They're walking through animal droppings, right? Because, you know, what was sanitation at that time? And these feet were pretty horrendous, you know? And Jesus, at the Last Supper, and by the way, they didn't have these nice leather-bound shoes that would protect their feet, right? Most probably walking in sandals. And at that Last Supper, what does he do? He kneels down, and he starts washing their feet. And Peter, one of the disciples, Peter, says, "There's no way. I'm not letting you wash my feet. How could you possibly do that?" And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me." And the minute he says this, Peter turns around and he says, Lord, not only my feet, wash my whole body. I want to be part of you. And Jesus said, you don't need, what is clean doesn't need to be washed, but the feet need to be washed. You're not going to understand this right now, but there will come a time where you will understand what I am doing. And he goes ahead and he washes the feet of the disciples. And after dinner, after washing their feet, he gets up and he says, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, Scripture says, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Hey, I'm the top one. I'm the one. I'm right here. I'm doing it. I'm washing your feet. If I'm doing that, what should you be doing for one another? What did Pope Francis say? The highest authority is service. Is that love? What is the highest power? The power of the cross. What is the cross? Self-sacrifice. And where you get this from? Well, think about it. Armenian Orthodoxy from the beginning. You walk around throughout Armenia, and what is the one symbol that you see everywhere you turn? Etched into stone. The cross. The power of the cross is there. What do you hear? As Armenian Orthodoxy refined, Armodoxy, what have I been preaching? Walk in the shoes of others, help the others, respect the others, and learn to serve the other people. We've had it. And that service model begins with, as Pope Francis said, it's easy to talk about, more difficult to do. It begins with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was more difficult to do. And to see how difficult it is, I am going to go into some hymns of the Armenian Church. This is a hymn called Aisor Anjar. It has 36 verses. It is most prominently sung on Holy Thursday, on the night of the Last Supper within the church, in remembrance of the Last Supper. But there are other occasions when it is sung. It is usually also just a beautiful song to follow along. 36 verses, one corresponding to each letter of the Armenian alphabet. And it begins. I'm going to share with you a translation. This was done by a young man, Robert Boyajian. Never met him. He was a young man at that time. Several years ago, I was looking for a translation, and he answered me by email and sent me this beautiful translation. I'm going to share with you this Boyajian translation. The hymn goes like this. Today the shining forth of the ineffable light of our salvation is completed. This is in reference to the feet washing, in reference to the act of humility by Jesus Christ. He is humbling himself at the consummation of the shadow feast in the upper room. So here he is at the end of it all, okay? He's coming there. We saw this beautiful birth. We saw a ministry of 3 years touching, healing people. And all of a sudden, he's there at the consummation. And now he's getting ready for the cross. And before the sacramental supper, the hymn says, the one who is clothed in light dressed himself in a towel. The one who is clothed in light. Let there be light. What is the ultimate? The beginning. What is God? If not pure light. Pure love. And the one who is clothed in light now wraps a towel around him. And he took water like a servant. He washed the feet of the disciples. The hymn continues, Peter did not consent to the word of the Father, the glory of the light touching his feet. Peter couldn't handle that, okay? The glory of light was going to touch his feet? Those hands which fashioned the heavens and the earth, through which the eyes of the blind were opened, the deaf and the mute liberated, those hands which saved him from the sea, hushed the waves, and they were quieted. You know, when I talk about what we have in Armenian Orthodoxy, the richness of not only the hymns, but the theology of the metaphors. This is Nerses Shnorhali writing so prolifically. Look how he juxtaposes these ideas. The same hands which had fashioned the heavens and the earth, through which those hands that had touched the blind man's eyes, those same hands that had given hearing to the deaf person, liberated the mute, those hands which had saved Peter from the sea. Remember, Peter was drowning and Jesus extends that hand to him. And the same hands that had hushed the waves and they were quieted, that hand was now going to wash Peter's dirty feet. The hymn continues, he hushed the chosen head of the small flock who did not comprehend the mystery. The chosen head, of course, Peter, the small flock, the Christians. Consequently, Peter repented and obeyed. He asked, clean this head and these feet. Christ answered, it is not necessary that this head be cleaned by water, for it is already clean. You who are the feet must be cleansed so that you may unite to this head in holiness. This is actually sung. This is the hymn, Aysor Anjar. It continues, the hymn continues, what he first taught the class of his disciples by words, today by his works he demonstrated. Easy to talk. There's an expression, put your money where your mouth is. Okay, this is it. The epitome of humility, the one who is not seen from those made of fire, waited on those made of dirt. Can't be seen. Made of fire. He was waiting on those made of dirt. The one to whom service is rendered by the seraphim, rendered service to his own servants. This is the one who was taken care of. People serve, and now he was serving. He said, if I, Lord of every being and teacher of everyone, washed away the dirt of the old from the feet of you, the disciples, and you, the slaves, you have the same nature. Show the same humility to each other. Let the one who has exalted himself be thrown down, and this will make upright your nature. It doesn't get any better, folks. This is it. What Pope Francis said last week, here it is. St. Nerses Shnorhali articulating it in this beautiful hymn, serving the ultimate power. The ultimate authority. You who cleansed the feet of the basin with clean hands and taught them to be victorious over the evil proud one by humility, in the same way wash the mud of my sin with the prayers of the holy group and the guide of the goings of my feet through the ascension of humility into the heavens. The final verse, of course, being the prayer that we ask of God, that mud be taken off of us so that we can humble ourselves. Jesus gives us this answer. Now, here's the interesting thing. It isn't lost there. Certainly Pope Francis talked about it. But Pope Francis brought in a very interesting passage. It comes to us from the book of Philippians, that is St. Paul writing to the to the Christian community in Philippi. And it comes from Philippians chapter 2. Here, St. Paul invites the Christian community to imitate Christ, to be like Christ. He says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Now, let's look at this. There's a theological expression called kenosis. Kenosis is a Greek term which literally means emptiness. It is basically the idea of self-emptying of one's own will and becoming entirely receptive to God's divine will. And it's referred to as, it's a reference to, of course, what Christ did. Okay, and it says it right here, St. Paul says it so beautifully, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Yeah, you're up at the top. You could exploit that. I mean, what was that in Jesus Christ Superstar? Do you remember that? There was a very interesting statement that Judas makes in the song Jesus Christ Superstar. And this is at the end of the opera. Everything has happened, and we've seen the passion of our Lord, him going through the supper and going through. And Judas asks this question, why did you pick such a backward time and in such a strange land? If you had come today, you would have reached a whole nation. Israel in 4 BC had no mass communication. Yeah, you know, you're God. Figure it out. You know, you could have come in 2015. You'd had the whole internet. Well, guess what? He did have the whole internet. He had better than the internet. And he came at this exact time. Because he didn't exploit the God factor, but he exploited the human factor in the sense that he became the example for all of us. Kenosis, self-emptying of one's own will and becoming entirely receptive to God's divine will. Now, Pope Francis, again, returning back to how he addressed the Chaldean bishops, he says, "Keep always before you the image of the Good Shepherd, who is concerned for the salvation of his sheep. May you imitate him, zealous in seeking the salus amirum, healthy souls of priests, as well as laity, realizing the exercise of communion sometimes demands a genuine kenosis, self-emptying humility, and self-sacrifice." That's it. And you're hearing it from the top. And when we hear things like this, yes, we've known about it in Armadoxy, we've heard the saints talk about it, but when you hear someone saying it of the stature of Pope Francis, we need to applaud it. Unfortunately, politics gets in the way, and what happens when we say, well, he's the head of the Catholic Church. No, he's the head. You need to appreciate someone in that position saying that the only real authority is the authority of service, is the power of service. Because, as I said earlier, I mean, up until now, you know, you'd hear from the Catholic Church saying the authority of the Church. And so now he's equating that authority with service, getting out there and helping. And isn't that the bottom line? And it begins with humility. It begins with ourselves washing the feet, understanding if those divine hands were washing the feet of the disciples, how much more we should do it. It's not lip service. It's not about me. It's about helping others. There's a story in the Bible which Jesus, I love this story. It comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. It's a parable. And Jesus uses this parable to really instruct us on what is important in life. He talks about a rich man who had just ample resources. And his crops had just bared so much fruit and so much goodness that this man was now dealing with a problem. He had too much. And scripture tells us, Jesus tells us in his parable, he says, "And this man thought to himself, 'What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops.'" He had so much, he had to store them someplace. "Then he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, there's even an Armenian song, "Uden khamenk kefenenk." I mean, those words, they transcend every culture, right? Just get up, let's have a great time. And what does the story tell us? He says the man was a fool. Why was he fool? Because that night his soul was demanded of him. So what good was all that crop? What good was tearing down his barns to build bigger barns? What good was that bigger barn? What good was having that all that accumulation of wealth and resources? Because that night it was going to end for him. That night his soul was being demanded of him. And so he was a fool. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the civil rights leader who I always say before and everything else was a reverend of the gospel, used this passage very cleverly. He says, "I could have told that man what to do with that surplus." He says, "How about filling up the bellies of those hungry children who are starving? Yeah, you could do a lot with what you've got." But instead, this man was a fool. Because he didn't understand that that goodness wasn't his doing. Because listen to this, what I just read to you, and it comes to us from the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. If you want, follow it along and circle these words. Listen, I'm going to pronounce those words. "What should I do?" the man said. "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have," and he's talking about himself, so again, that "you" is the "I," "you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax," and this is in the first person singular, "eat, drink, and be merry." Count those words. There's 60 words in that statement that man said. 16 of those words were about himself. I, my, it's me. That's 25%. 25% of his words were consumed with this idea of I, the ego. And that, my friends, is where humility needs to begin. The dropping of that ego. The selfless sacrifice. Doing for others. Sharing with others. Helping others. Getting rid of that I. Because we talked about St. Nersa Schnorrali, we talked about the Pope, we talked about even Dr. Martin Luther King. But Jesus himself, our Lord, says it very clearly. In Mark chapter 9, we read, "Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you arguing about on the way?' His disciples, the ones that he had been walking with, were arguing along the way. They were all silent, Scripture says, for on the way they had argued with one another, who was the greatest?" It's childish, right? Do this with your brothers and your sisters. I wonder who mom likes better. I wonder who the teacher likes in our class. Who's the best? Who is the greatest? Do you understand why this doesn't work with today's world? Because the world is consumed with who is the greatest. And what is the measure of that greatness? What you have. And so the disciples, they were arguing, who is the greatest? And he sat down and he called the 12 and said to them, "Whoever wants to be the first must be the last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put him among them. And taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." You want to begin? What do? We tell children, be like us. No, Jesus says, be like this child. Welcome this child. Understand humility. Understand that greatness. The power of that greatness. And that is the lesson that comes to us in humility. When we talk about all the difficulties that we see within the world, all of the tragedies that are all around us, and we're looking to console, we can come up with a lot of words, but nothing replaces the actual actions. The actions that we all have to have. To put our feet in the shoes of others, to understand their pain, savatanam. And in understanding, reaching out to the people. We have that opportunity right now. We have an opportunity in this world that is hurting to reach out and become that authority, become the greatest by the service we render to others. By understanding that if the greatest hands in this universe humbled themselves to wash our feet, how much more we need to do for those refugees, for those people in the camps, for those people who are struggling to fill their bellies on a day-to-day basis, for those people who are mourning the losses of their children on the fields. And all of a sudden what happens, and when you lose the eye, you realize that others are important. It's not all about me. Yes, I will have pain. I do have pain. I have my struggles in my life. But it's not all about me. That I has to disappear. As it did for Christ. He could have exploited the divine nature, St. Paul tells us. But he didn't exploit that. Instead, he came at a time to give us the instruction on humility, on humble living, in living in peace and harmony, to bring about peace and harmony in this world. Let me take a break. I'll be back with a few other announcements coming up.
Hi, Susie here again, reminding you that the next step is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We've been broadcasting for 8 years now. We invite you to check out our extensive archive about applied spirituality and Christianity for just about every life situation. You'll find past podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry, and of course at the In His Shoes website. Each episode is filled with insights about faith and applications of love. We're proud to have these podcasts available to our worldwide audience, with listeners added daily. To become a partner of this ministry, please consider donating by pressing on the donate button on our website. Your monetary contributions goes to maintain and further this dynamic mission, bringing the message of Armadoxy into the lives of a waiting world. Let us know if you'd like to sponsor a series of podcasts by dropping us a note at feedback@epostle.net. That's epostle with an E, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World, .net. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for all of your prayers and your support for this ministry. I want to do a couple big shout-outs. One of them is to our dear friend, Dr. Harry Hagopian. He's written a beautiful piece about what we can learn from the olive tree, and what Christians can learn from the olive tree. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes. Do check out this incredible blog. Not only this one, but everything that he does write. I find it really refreshing to hear this kind of voice out there. Dr. Harry Hagopian, you've heard me talk about him in the past, and hopefully one day we're going to make a connection and get him on this show too. But this one piece really strikes me as something that our Next Step listeners will be able to relate to very, very quickly. Another big shout out to our dear friend Janine, who's been a supporter of this podcast. She had just a wonderful call yesterday and giving a lot of support. And she talked about making time for God. And this was interesting because you know how we always complain about not having time for the spiritual side of life. And she asked a very simple question, which really is wonderful. It was very refreshing. It was an excellent idea and one that I'm going to implement. I have to implement today. She says, have you ever thought about making an appointment with God? What? An appointment with God? What does that mean? Yeah, put it in your calendar. You know, 2:00 today, meeting with God. Oh, I like that, huh? You like that? You know where I'm going with this, right? You make an appointment with God. That's your time to pray. That's your time to talk. I mean, we have all kinds of other appointments. We have an appointment if the dentist wants to yank out a tooth. We have an appointment to meet with friends. We have an appointment to make a trip. How about an appointment with God? Put it on your calendar. And if somebody wants that slot, somebody says, hey, 2:00 today, how about meeting me for lunch? You say, I'm sorry, I've got an appointment. I've got something to do. Thank you, Janine. That was a wonderful idea. Something I'm going to implement, and I want to implement a little bit further than just that idea. I want to make something out of this. This is a great, great idea, and I appreciate it. But that's the caliber of people that listen in, that support. And I want to thank you all for your prayers, your generosity in making sure that this podcast continues. This is an important one. We're on our eighth year right now, and Susie mentioned to you all the needs that we have. You know what I want to do? I've put it out now, and I'm going to start really working on this. I want to get a mobile unit. Yeah, I always tell you that we're recording from Epostle East or West. We've got two studios that are basically makeshift offices. We're running out of room. How about a mobile unit? That's what I want to really work towards now. I want to get a little mobile unit where we could set up the studio and do some traveling and go around places and do these broadcasts from different areas. So that's on our to-do list and our want list, our wish list, okay? Just wonderful people all around me. I'm always thankful for all of your participation. I'm very, very thankful. And I remember each and every one of you by name in my prayers. And I hope you remember this broadcast as well in your prayers, this ministry, Epostle, and especially the mothership In His Shoes. I want to call it a day right now. Hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. I want to invite you on Facebook to follow us and participate. Get involved in the discussion, as well as all the usual outlets on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, Blueberry. We're just all over the place. Do listen in and do comment. Love to hear from you. feedback@epostle.net. Epostle, easy to remember. It's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. Epostle.net. For the crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vazquez inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. Happy Halloween!
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.